welcome to Keys to the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We sent out two newsletters over the middle of the night. One is on controlling water, controlling the people. You'll recognize it because of the typo in the subject line. But that was an article that just went out to News with Views, and they've published that through their network of interested people in the rights and affairs of men. And we republish it and put it also on our own website, so you can read that article there if you're on the Kingdom News list, which we recommend everybody get on that list so that they can find out what we're all about and hear about the kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be preaching, the gospel of the kingdom. That's what it was called, the good news of the kingdom, the right to be ruled by God. And why do we want to be ruled by God? Because if we're ruled by other gods, the lesser gods of the world, they may require or compel or involve us in things that would not be pleasing to our Father and our Creator in heaven. So we need to remain free so that we have a right to choose how we serve God, because that's spiritually maturing. We sent out another newsletter about famine and hunger. Well, there's two kinds of hunger. There's the kind that feeds the body, and there's the kind that feeds the soul. And often they become related because they're mirror images of the same thing. If you're hungry for that God that gave us life, you will also be hungry for the foods that give you life. If you're not hungry for the God that gave you life, you may be hungry for foods that don't give you life, or at least the same quality of life. But in today's world, there are actually people going hungry who cannot find food to sustain the body. And we've known for some time, that's what this program is about, that there is a lack of food, good food, nourishing food for the soul, because there is apostate teachings that are coming to us all around the world and from all aspects of our life that teach us false teach us lies in place of the truth. And so that's what we're trying to do, is awaken people to the kingdom. We're having a retreat here this weekend. A number of people have come from as far away as Wisconsin and Tennessee, and most of the people are local because it was a last-minute sort of thing where we invited people to the retreat, and we will be talking about kingdom issues here for the next couple of days. You can find us on the website, hisholychurch.info. Over on the side, there's a little drop-down menu under events, and it will tell you about the retreat and how to get here. We've already had people showing up. We had no idea they were coming. But we're trying to build a network of people that are seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And in the second article, we're quoting a New York Times article talking about people eating dirt in Haiti, because hunger is so rampant in parts of Haiti. It's not so much that Haiti can't produce food. It's a very tropical area. It can produce probably a great deal of food. But it's economic. It has to do with money, oppression of our neighbor. These are one of the things that we're going to be talking about, is how the economy works in the kingdom of God. It's much different than in the ways of the world. It's not based on selfishness, but selflessness. And we will be discussing that. But we have guests here from Haiti, missionaries who have been working in Haiti. We'll be heading back there. I've known them for some time. I finally got to meet them face-to-face last night, very late. They traveled a long ways to get here. They're known in the music world as Troy and Jeannie, but I will let them introduce themselves, or at least I'll turn this over to Troy. And he'll tell you a little bit about his mission in Haiti, and a little bit about what they hope to accomplish, where they're going, maybe even a little bit about where they're coming from. And that will give you a little insight that there are other people seeking the kingdom, and that we need to work together as a people, a peculiar people, a people that operate by free will choice, to make those choices that are pleasing to our Father in heaven. And so, without further ado, I'll hand the mic to Troy.
Hi, brothers and sisters. We just grabbed the phone, and we're just speaking here by the Spirit, but we're praying for you and your journey. Maybe you're on a journey like we've been on. We were in the world, in the world of Christian music. We had a big debt and lots of a mortgage and a big recording studio that we were paying on loans for. And my wife was desperately ill because she'd been letting doctors manage her health for about 35 years. And she was just about dead. And we moved out with the Amish as a sort of a desperate effort to find a way to get her healed. At that time, one of the big reasons we moved out was so that we could research writings such as those of Brother Gregory's and try to figure out what was going on, because this was about the time when it was being clear that the economic systems and political systems of the world were not what they were claiming to be and were working against our better interests. And so we learned from the Amish about how to live sustainably, and then we went through the process of adopting a child, and it was so much of a problem dealing with the the social worker system in the U.S. that we decided that it was time to go to another country and try to help the people there. And we went to work among the Haitians and Dominicans, and found that their biggest problem is that they're all fleeing the rural lands where in the past they lived in small communities, small groups, and they've moved into the cities where they're living in squalor and eating mud and getting all kinds of diseases and dying very young of cancer. And it's the cities in these third world, or what they call the third world countries, are just horrible places. That's why Gregory was writing about the people eating mud. The people up in the country, up in the mountains of Haiti, who are living the way their ancestors did, are not eating mud. They're eating chicken and fruit, and they're doing okay. It's a hard life, but they're not suffering in the kind of squalor and that the people in the cities are. So our mission down there is to live a simple country lifestyle in cooperation with our neighbors, loving our neighbors, instead of going into the cities and being under the control and seeking the benefits of the system, eating from the hand of man. Instead, we go out in the country and, you know, we're people who have enough means that we could live, you know, and we could thrive, you know, just about anywhere, but we've chosen to go into the country area and live simply and humbly among the people. And that is a big wake-up call to the people that are there, to say, let's exit the cities, let's come out of Babylon and go out and love our neighbors in small groups. One of us raise chickens, one of us raise milk the cow, you know, one makes the cheese, that sort of thing. And go back to living the way the ancient Hebrews did when they left Babylon, when they left the cities where they ate from the hand of Nimrod. A lot of this we learn from the His Holy Church stuff, materials. And so I'm going to let Brother Gregory ask the questions that he was hoping to ask, and I'll hope to talk to you guys a little bit more, and hope to meet you in face-to-face soon. Bye.
Troy was talking about the cities being these cesspools of iniquity, disease, unhealthy lifestyles. Of course, there's the moral corruption that goes right along with that, the economic dependency upon other people who do not have your best interests at heart but would like to turn you into human resources. And if you remember way back in the early stages of the Bible, when they're talking about the famine that came upon the land, And the people were ill-prepared for this famine, and Joseph had prepared in Egypt for the famine. Well, an interesting thing that I've never heard a minister put together is that Joseph was a brother with many other brothers. They had more than one mother in that family. I've often teased a few friends who think that having more than one wife is a good idea. And they tell me that, oh, well, if there was something wrong with it, God would have provided a punishment for having more than one wife. And I tell them he did. And they look at me, where? Where in the Bible is that? And I says, well, the punishment for having more than one wife is having more than one wife. But the reality is everywhere you find someone having more than one wife in the Bible, they have a great deal of trouble resulting from that, because it brings in jealousy, because it's usually the result of selfishness. I won't say that in every case, because there are strange cases that take place in the world, and God is not trying to restrict us to some moral code. He's trying to teach us the precepts of life. And life is about sharing your life with someone else. And that's done best within the family. And then the family shares its life with others by voluntary choice. Unfortunately, envy, strife, jealousy arises and divides us. And that's what happened to Joseph and his family, and his brothers cast him into bondage. And as you judge, so shall you be judged. And so was their own lives cast into bondage. Had they kept Joseph dear in their hearts and with them, he would have told them of the coming famine, and they would have prepared. But they did not have the knowledge they need, and because of that lack of knowledge, they were delivered into bondage. Well, the first knowledge we need is not to be jealous, not to be envious, to be caring for others. And if they had had that knowledge, they would have had the knowledge of the famine. Everybody wants to know what's coming, what is going to happen, what kind of famine may hit us so that we can prepare. Well, if you want to prepare, do away with envy and jealousy and selfishness, and seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. When the people went into bondage, it says that Pharaoh moved them to the city. Well, that's not just a location. They were still tending flocks. They were still cultivating gardens. They weren't all living in the city proper. But it had to do with a status, a persona jurisdiction over the people, where they were now subjects to the Pharaoh and the other pharaohs that rose up who were not as benevolent as the first pharaoh. This is what is happening in America today. This is what's happening in Haiti and all over the world. We have chosen strange gods who do not love us, and they have been able to subjugate us because we are divided by envy and jealousy and pride and arrogance and all the things that go to the downfall of individuals. So we have to learn how to go back to that kingdom and work without the jealousy and envy. And this is a learning process for us all. Troy and Jeannie are learning probably day by day in Haiti how to interact with people and show them the ways of the kingdom, because that's where true salvation is found, not only spiritually, but also physically. And in the newsletter I sent out, I talked about the fact that there are limited amount of supplies in America for food, reserves that we always used to keep, 6-7 years of supply of grain, we no longer have. We aren't as wise. We are now in the bondage of Egypt in a land that was once free. And as America goes, so goes the world. And so the whole world is back in the same type of bondage. And that bondage, again, comes from envy and jealousy. So we started a network that has no place for envy and jealousy, where people have to come together and love one another as they love themselves. That's an amazing revolutionary concept that is supposedly taught by all the other churches. But in reality, most of the people pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. They give power to men and corrupt them by that power we have given. Our sloth makes tyrants of what maybe could have been good men like Saul. So I'm going to ask Troy a few things about maybe there's some lessons that he's learned when he was in Haiti. Maybe he could talk a little bit about how they even got to Haiti. Like I say in the newsletter, it's a unique kingdom ministry. This is not a ministry of a 501c3 church. They've taken it even farther back than that. Their ministry is not a ministry that is blessed by the states of the world, but it is only blessed by the kingdom of God. It is only blessed by free will offerings. It is only blessed by personal sacrifice. It is a stepping out in faith. And so maybe you can tell us a little bit about how he got there. Tell the people a little bit about his whole family, and give you all a kind of a glimpse at that before the break. And hopefully I'll give him a little signal when we get close to the break, but I'll let him have the mic again and talk about how they got to where they are today.
Hi again, everybody. We did set up a 501c3 ministry a long time ago, and we realized that that was not, through reading Gregory's writings and some other writings, we realized that that was a way of going under the authority of the world. And so we closed that down, and we stopped soliciting, we didn't really ever solicit donations, but we closed down that avenue of possibly receiving donations, and we wanted to make it clear that we're not trying to get your money or anybody else's money. We believe that if our Father in Heaven wants us to do what we're doing, that He's going to provide for it. And so there's no hidden motive in this radio broadcast. There's no pitch at the end coming, send all your money to help the poor mud-eating Haitians. And we'll take our cut. That's just not what we're doing. The other thing is we don't feel that we should have to talk to Caesar about where we can go. And our authority to move about on the planet comes from Matthew 28:18-20. It says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Yahshua." Yeah, people refer to him as Jesus. He has all authority. And the next word is, which you all know, the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore into every nation, baptizing them in the name of," let's just say the name, and Yahshua will be with us until the end. So we don't need any more authority to get on a plane or to get in a car or to walk across the earth. Everything belongs to Yahshua ultimately, or Yahweh, or some people would say God. Whatever terms you use to refer to the Creator, and you don't have to go under their authority just to move about. There are some complications, and so when we get on planes and things like that, we realize that there are going to be times when you're detained for a while they test your spirit, while you have an opportunity to minister to them and talk about the fact that the kingdom of heaven is a real authority by which you can move about. You don't need to get licenses and permits and passports from Caesar if you are a member of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you're a member of the United States of America or some other nation, you have to do what they say. If they say you have to get a passport and they don't make any exceptions, which they really do, but if they didn't make any exceptions, you'd have to get one. So there's a website out there, you can find it, and you can read all about the story of how we move about without the documents of the world. If you're looking for quick, easy travel, hopping on a plane like a tourist for a weekend so that you can get back to your job at IBM on Monday, you're not going to want to go the way we go, because it's slow and it's a test of everything you have inside you. but I will give you a bit of information. When you get in a traffic stop or a Homeland Security check or something, the best thing you can do is start singing the Lord's Prayer. At least that's been our nothing springs you out of jail quicker than singing the Lord's Prayer. I think that's where Brother Gregory was heading with this. Let's see, what else? what else should we say? I wish you were here with us so we could ask you, so we could answer your questions and ask questions of you. I guess I can go back to what got us started in all this is that we were writing songs based on the scripture at record companies, things that call themselves Christian record companies, which are really just worldly record companies making money off of Christians. But they would call us and say, write us an album of scripture songs, because nobody can do that. And so we would do it, and we made albums called, say, Scripture Rock and that sort of thing. And in the process of researching all the scriptures that we, you know, the years and years of researching scripture to make these scripture albums, we came to the conclusion that Brother Gregory has come to, and that is the scripture doesn't teach what's taught in churches. There's a different worldview going on. Most prominently, the churches teach a worldview that will bring you back into the bondage of Caesar through a misinterpretation of a couple of key verses like Romans 13 and a couple of things Peter said, whereas the scripture will lead you out into a difficult and arduous life of being free and being responsible for your own actions, being bearing your own liability for what you do, living from the hand of the Father. So that's what got this whole thing started, is writing scripture music. Brother Gregory came to the same point by researching scripture. And so we want to join with you and come together as a fellowship, and not as such a scattered flock as we are now, and leave the hand of Caesar and come together to help each other. And this is not about getting out of liabilities, getting out of child support, and dodging taxes and dodging the draft and all this stuff. This is about donating our lives to charity, to helping others. And that's important, because when you start talking about being free, you attract all kinds of people who just want, as Brother Gregory said, everything for free. And so if that's where you're at, you know, just go back to Caesar and you know, sign up for welfare and get what you can get and go under his jurisdiction. All he has for all you have. But if you want to be free and use the ultimate purpose of all this is to use your freedom to do charity, so that your everything that you have is unrestricted, so that you can offer it to the poor, to the needy. Because he says, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. And he says, come, if you did that, come inherit the kingdom that I've prepared for you. And then he says to the goats on the other side, I was hungry and you didn't give me any food. I was thirsty. You didn't give me any drink. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. Like Keith Green says, and I rotted there. And he says, depart into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And the only difference between the sheep and the goats is, as Keith Green says, the only difference between the sheep and the goats is what they did and did not do. So come together with us and let's do charity together.
Pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines. 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then, you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Back to Keys of the Kingdom. We've been talking to Troy and Jeannie. They have a mission in Haiti. They actually have a mission on this planet, and they just happen to be locating in Haiti at this time. They talked about traveling about by the authority of God rather than the authority of men, and we don't want to give anybody the impression that you are not under the authority of men, because most everybody in the world is. But there is another kingdom. There is another king. Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah. And he appointed unto us a kingdom. And if we conform to his will and his mission, we may proceed according to his mission and preach the kingdom to all the world. Troy talked a great deal about feeding the poor. Well, the truth is, there's an awful lot of people out there that are a lot more poor than they want to realize. The United States is bankrupt. Most countries are bankrupt. We're on the verge of one of the largest recessions maybe in the history of man. It may go into hyperinflation, economic collapse. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just saying the road is rough ahead, and you need to make preparations for that. The best way to prepare for your own survival is to prepare for the survival of others. And the best way to do that is to serve others. And that's what Troy and Jeannie are doing. They've gone to one of the poorest countries probably in the Western Hemisphere, and they are serving others. And in that process, they will learn a great deal about the kingdom, about themselves, about what they can do and should do for Christ. We all may be having to serve one another in situations very similar to that. And one of the ways we do that is to bring people's attention to that other meal that we're not eating of, that other table that we're not eating of, and we're not setting, and that's the table of the Lord. There's the table of the world, the table of governments of the world that lay out before you many dainties, but they are called in the Bible deceitful meats. Paul referred to them, and David referred to them as a table that would be a snare for you, that would bring you back into bondage. Peter made references to it also, where he talked about to your own covetousness of these benefits from the benefactors who exercised authority, that you would be made merchandise, human resources. And so we need to learn a different way of taking care of one another. And that's what the early church was. It was the entire social welfare system of a community of people. It took care of all their social welfare by the perfect law of liberty, by faith, hope, and charity, by voluntary contributions one to each other, not sending them off to me to take care of everybody and trickle back down to you, but to get together in local networks of people who actually cared about one another, and then take those networks and link them together with that same spirit, whether you live in Haiti, whether you live in Tennessee, or Wisconsin, or Oregon, or wherever, you're linked together by common bonds of love and charity and hope. And we talk about according to the name of Yahweh or the name of Yeshua. Well, those names are, it's not how you spelled it. They didn't have an ID card that you had to put their name on that ID card. It had to do with the character of God. Are you a giver of life, or is your church delivering the people into bondage? Are you delivering them and setting them free, making them whole, nursing their wounds, and those wounds are go deep, or are you doing basically the will of God, or the will of lesser gods that want to make you human resources? And so that's what our website is talking about. That's what our books talk about. They're all the books are there, free for you to download and read and study. But you must do that work. Because Christ said, strive, seek. He didn't say, just say, Lord, Lord, but he said, do it the will of the Father. Well, I'm going to put Troy on the hot seat again. Is there any particular subjects that you would like to talk about?
Oh, I'm just hoping that we can say something that helps the people who are listening. You, dear listener, with whatever struggle you're dealing with right now, maybe you're feeling this yearning to understand what's going on, and you've watched the news, and you've now realized that the news is not there to inform you of the truth. The news is there to sell you a product, sell you a worldview. It's their right to broadcast whatever they want, but fraud and deceit is not illegal, and they're going to tell you what they want you to hear. And maybe that's frustrating for you right now, and that's why you've taken your day, time out of your busy day, to listen to this broadcast. We're, again, not trying to get anyone to leave the world system if that's not what they're being called to do. The world system provides lots of benefits. The countries provide lots of benefits for their citizens, and we believe that you should give your all allegiance to your country. If you are a citizen of the United States, you should give your all allegiance, which means everything, all you have, for all they have, and to do what your leaders tell you to do. But if you are a citizen of the Kingdom of Heaven, you need to give your all allegiance to the Kingdom of Heaven, to the Kingdom of Yah, to do whatever the Creator of all has commanded you to do, which means you can't do both. And this is what we realize. We looked at the statutes of the United States of America, which say that they do not recognize dual citizenship. You cannot simultaneously be a citizen of the United States and a citizen of China and have the United States recognize that citizenship. The China might recognize dual citizenship, but the U.S. doesn't, because you realize that all allegiance is all. You can't give all you have to two different countries. You can't. So we have decided that our allegiance belongs to our Creator, and that's made our a difficult life. But then again, miracles begin to happen when you devote yourself to Him, and things that you thought you wouldn't be able to do, like go from one country to another without documentation from man. Things like this become possible. You find that sometimes you have no money at all, and you're eating, and you have more food than you've ever had in your life, and you're having to give it away for months at a time. Not because you don't have any money somewhere, but because you can't get to it, because you're stuck in a mountain in some third world country, and miracles start taking place. And you know, that's a really fun thing to start taking part in. People start getting healed by your touch. So there are trade-offs in this choice. There is a lot of inconvenience. The kingdom of heaven, I'm going to tell you right now, does not match the convenience of Walmart and the driver's license and all the ease of electricity pumping into your house for near free, all of the things that the world gives. It's not necessarily true that you have to give up everything along those lines, but the kingdom of heaven doesn't guarantee you that you're going to enjoy any of the conveniences that you get from participating in the kingdom of Germany or the Republic of France. And Brother Gregory has another question.
Well, I just thought I'd add to what Troy was talking about. He almost is giving the kingdom a bad name with all this talk about burden. Jesus did say that his burden was a burden, but he said his burden was light. Maybe we can quote Yoda when they talk about the dark side of the forest and the light side of the forest, and he says, and Luke asks, which one is stronger? Well, he said, is the dark side stronger? And then he says, no, it's quicker, it's easier, it's faster. And that's, of course, the major advertising campaign of most of the products in the world today. Quicker, easy, faster, but it's not better. And it will have its burden too, but its burden will come at the end of the week when you would be expecting to rest, and God's burden is at the beginning of the week when you're expected to work, and not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do it the will of the Father. So we take on the burden willingly now for that day of rest. This is what Sabbath keeping is all about. It's not about some magic day that you take off. It's about doing the work first, like God did, giving life first, and then receiving back life more abundant. And so there is a burden with the kingdom. And it's a little scary because it's new. It's different from what we're used to. But he will give us strength, and we should give strength to one another. He is not sending us out as lone sheep to the wolves. He would even send out his own ministers two by two. And one of my pet comments I'll often make, now they go out, Troy and Jeannie, but they really only go out as one because they are one. And so we would like to go out with them in some way or another to assist them in their efforts, not to enrich them with the things of the world, but to enrich them with things of the Spirit and thereby enrich them with the whole world. Because that's really what's at stake here. There is forces moving in the universe that want the whole world to themselves. But we were given the world. We were given dominion over it. We were losing that dominion. We were told to dress it and keep it, but we were losing that. But Christ redeemed it and told us to go a certain way. If we don't go that way, then we will lose that redemption. Because it's that Jesus came that we might be saved. It isn't a guarantee. He's done his part. Now we must do our part and conform to the ways of Christ and take up his burden, put our hand to his plow, to teach people to live by faith, hope, and charity, by personal sacrifice, one for each other. And that's what the journey is all about, because the kingdom is more a journey than a destination. It's a way more than a particular status. And so that's what we have to do, is we have to take those steps. They certainly have taken some big steps, but I don't know, maybe they're starting to look back at some of those steps not being quite so big. But before I hand the phone back to him for a brief moment, I'm going to talk about this idea of passports. If you have a U.S. passport, you have renounced by law
all other kings and potentates throughout the world. That is required. That would mean you have renounced even the Prince of Peace. Your labor is now at the disposal of those whom you give allegiance. They require full faith and credit. It is an institution of a god or two that we have created for ourselves, but it is not the institution of God. It does not operate on faith and hope and charity. It operates on force, fear, and compliance. Now, if you're a member of the One, you may owe your tally of bricks, and you may need to pay that tally of bricks and recognize the bondage that you have gone into. But you can, at this moment, turn around and start heading back the other way. Start gleaning in the field at night for your benefits. In other words, start looking to one, to each other, to help each other out. You will find that as the kingdoms of the world begin to decay, as they've done before, as the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, those benefits that seem to make your day so light may begin to dwindle away because they are an illusion. They are not as real as you think. The power may not come through that plug socket. The food may not be in that grocery store. And the love may not be in your leaders that you thought was there. And you need to start moving according to another spirit, a spirit that does not want to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, does not covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of the gods and governments that you have chosen for yourself. And this is a revolutionary idea to take steps in that journey. And Troy and Jeannie are a good example of someone who has taken that journey. They don't have all the answers, but at least they're asking some of the questions. And so we don't have a lot of time left on the show, and then I'll get to go out and talk all day at the retreat. So I'll put Troy on the spot again for the last 10 minutes of the show and see if he can maybe share some thoughts or anything. I don't want him to think about it too much. I want him just to speak from the spirit and whatever is moving him in his heart. And here he is, Troy.
Hi there. Something did come into my spirit here that I felt that I should tell you guys, and it's something that has changed my life dramatically, and it's the gospel. There is a version of the gospel that you've heard in church, and you maybe have been as freaked out about this gospel as I was, and here's how it goes in church. God Almighty hated everything that you were doing bad so much and couldn't stand to look at you that in the old days he required people to go out and slay an animal and drop the blood of the animal on the ground, and then God, who is love, somehow got real happy and liked the people again. But the blood of the animals wasn't enough because you guys kept doing bad stuff and he didn't like you, and so he had a son, his own beloved son, who he caused to be strung up on a cross, which wasn't really a cross probably, but at any rate, he caused his son to drop his blood all over the ground, and now God was so happy, and he likes you. And we're supposed to love this guy, this God, who will only like you and love you, his cherished creations, if he sees blood. Now, I didn't ever really understand it quite so grossly as that, but I started to analyze it, and I said, that's what these people are saying. And it's disgusting, and I could never truly love a God who thought like that. And then I looked up, and what I've just described to you is what's called the substitutionary atonement. You could look, and then I had a friend of mine who called me up one day, and he said, have you ever heard of the ransom theory of the atonement? And I said, what? He said, Yahshua said, I came to give my life as a ransom for many. And I said, yeah, that sounds right. And he said, look it up. So I looked it up on the Internet. You can go out on the Internet and look it up, ransom theory of the atonement. It's on all the seminary textbooks, and it's on the Internet. And here's what it says. It says, once upon a time, there was a great and powerful and beautiful, talented, attractive angel named Lucifer, and he was cast down to earth for rebellion against Yah, the Creator. And Lucifer enticed all of the people to come under his authority. And the people said, wow, we love this guy. He's given us great benefits. He gives us Social Security, and he gives us permits to drive, and he gives us free unemployment if we don't want to or can't work, and he gives us disability payments. If we can't work, he pays us for being disabled or for claiming to be disabled, and he doesn't check up on that very diligently either. And the people said, we love... Of course, they didn't call him Lucifer. They called him something else. But anyway, Lucifer got control of all the people and became the head honcho of the planet. And then Yahshua came along and lived on the earth, that is Jesus, and Lucifer hated him so much that Lucifer killed Jesus. Lucifer killed Yahshua. He had his henchmen do it. And this created a damage, what's called in law a damage on Yahweh. The Father was damaged by this, just the way you would be if someone had killed your son. You would want recompense. And so the Father said, Lucifer, you owe me big time. In fact, you owe me a limitless debt because you've killed a totally innocent man, my own son. And so Lucifer, who owns all the people of the earth who have gone under his jurisdiction, which is just about everyone, has to let you free if you come to him and say, on the account of Yahshua, of that is Jesus, I want to get out. I want out of jail. He has to let you free, and that's what we've done. We have noticed Lucifer that we want out of his system. And that is the opportunity that's available to you. Now, in church, they will tell you that you're supposed to go under the authority of the systems of man. You have no choice. Romans 13 says so. And if you buy that, we'll go to it. But we don't buy it anymore. And one of the keys to that is the ransom, what's called a theory, which is not a theory at all, that you have been ransomed. But the question is, do you want to get out of jail? The door is swinging open, but... do you want to get out of jail, or do you like the padded cell with the TV and the free cigarettes and all of the benefits of the managed system? That's the gospel as we understand it. It probably offended many of you, but maybe somebody wants to grab hold of it. And I'll let Brother Gregory wrap it up.
Troy, we didn't discuss this or anything. This wasn't a plan, but actually that's very, very right on, is that what Christ did is there is a blood debt now that the world owes God because they killed an innocent man. And that blood sealed the truth of the fact that Jesus Christ is King. And that kingdom, that what was nailed to the cross was a sign that said in an official Roman document in three languages that said, Jesus Christ is the King of Judea, the remnant of Israel. Jesus Christ is King of Judea, the remnant of Israel. And that's where we're at today. Jesus Christ is King, the remnant of Israel, the kingdom of God. He started out saying, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. It was already there. It's always been here. Abraham was a part of it. Melchizedek was a part of it. Enoch was a part of it. And it was being righteous in your generations and your faith so that you had one Father and He was in heaven. And that's where you pray. You don't pray to our Father who art in Washington, D.C., or our Father who art in London. You pray to our Father who art in heaven, who is the creator of the heavens and earth and gave us dominion. And those that come out now that are beginning to see this message of the ransom, of... this sacrifice so that we might be free, should come out with the intent of serving others, of teaching others what we have learned, sharing with them. Ultimately, God is the teacher. It is His Spirit in us that teaches us the truth of His kingdom. But we must take those steps, left foot, right foot, each step, each day, moment by moment, day by day, seeking His ways in truth and in spirit. Not simply saying, Lord, Lord. Not simply saying, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. But actually living that life He laid down for us.
And that was a life of service, washing the feet of his apostles. The highest King of Kings washing the feet of his apostles. We are a kingdom. There is a hierarchy in the kingdom, but it is based on our service, not by our authority. And as we give up authority over others and allow them the right to choose, we set ourselves free. As we oppress our neighbor and force him to contribute to our welfare, we ourselves are brought into bondage. These are two different kinds of worlds. These are two different kinds of systems. And we do not have to war with them. They may want to war with us, but we do not have to war with them because we've already won. We already are set free if we will simply conform to Christ. And in order to love your neighbor as yourself, to love God and his ways, you must find your neighbor. You must seek them out. You must come together in a network bound tightly together by unbreakable bonds of faith, of hope, of charity, of mutual love for one another. If we cannot do that, then we do not know Christ. If we cannot do that, we do not know the Father, and the Father is not in us. There is no place for the Holy Spirit in us. And we will be under the tribute of Caesar, under the tribute of Nimrod, under the tribute of Babylon. And then when that whip begins to sting, maybe it will wake us up, and we will repent and turn around and seek that kingdom of heaven first and that righteousness first. Don't be so anxious to come out of Babylon without first seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because if you come out of Babylon and you have not sought the kingdom of God and its righteousness for yourself, for your neighbor as equal to yourself, then when you come out, you'll just be walking the plank. So until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.